Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, August the 11th, 2025. Again, as always, we appreciate you listening. We know you have many listening choices, and you've decided to be with us here on AFR this morning. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you, Tim.
All right, before we get into the news of the day, we have some good news to share.
Good news, yes, amen.
Great news, in fact. Tim Todd is with us now from Louisiana. Tim is with Revival Fires Ministry, and as you heard all last week, we promoted the Truth for Youth Bible campaign for teenagers all over America to order these Bibles for free. They were paid for by donations by people to Tim Todd's ministry and also AFR and AFA listeners. And Tim joins us to give us an update from West Monroe. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tim. Good to hear from you. And great report.
Okay. First of all, it was this day last week that we announced the campaign. It's an annual campaign that we do where we try to get as many Bibles across America to teenagers who will give them to their peers who don't know the Lord. I mean, we're trying to evangelize here. And so what was our goal and what was the final number?
Tim, the goal was 65,000, and as of Sunday afternoon, we crossed over 65,000. This morning, we were at 65,105, and so we were able to meet our goal, and young people across America going to be giving Bibles to their friends in school that don't know Jesus, and we're going to see a great harvest of souls, and we greatly appreciate the partnership with American Family Radio, American Family Association, and people across America to help us get the Word of God into the hands of young people all over America.
I think that deserves a hand clap. Amen, brother.
Amen. This was our 25th year doing this with the Truth for Youth campaign.
And this was a new record in terms of the numbers of Bibles in any particular year, right, Tim?
Yes, it is. And as of now, Tim, we've given away together 1,365,000
wow.
Truth for Youth Bibles in the past 25 years. This was the silver anniversary, and so thankfully, yes, we were able to cross over and have a record-breaking number of 65,105, and so we're thanking the Lord and thanking American Family Radio for the partnership and the people across America to help us get this taken care of and get the Word of God into the hands of young people.
Well, Tim, I know this is your heart. Your heart as an evangelist is to see people come to Christ. Just share just briefly, because these Bibles, you have the New Testament, plus at the front of it 100 pages of comics. I'm not sure. I'm not sure last week when we had you on that we asked the question we normally do, how did you come up with this idea? Because it's just a God thing to have this idea. How did that come about? I mean, for you to think of a way for young people to be interested in it and then to give it away.
Yes, you know, Ed, in 91, my dad, Cecil Todd, and I had a meeting with the Minister of Education in Russia over all of the public schools, and they gave us the approval to put Bibles as textbooks in the hands of young people in Russia. And they asked me personally, what kind of a Bible project does America have for the public schools of your nation? And I had to tell them, Russia put God in school, but America kicked God out. And I came home troubled about what's going on in our public school systems here in America. We kicked off several years later the national or the Truth for Youth Bible, and I was looking at the Chick publications. You remember?
Yes, I remember those old Chick tracks. Yeah.
It was way back then. I contacted Jack and I said, "Look, we'd like to do something like this." And so, the first year that we used Truth for Youth Bibles way back was with Chick publications, and we started developing our own comic stories. And of course, now we've got full-fledged and the Truth for Youth Bible comics are just absolutely powerful. But I was looking at the Chick publications and thought, you know, our young people need to know the truth about these things, the different subjects that he was covering. And so we developed our own. And from that to where we're at now, we're thankful for what God has been doing.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Tim. We appreciate it very much. And take care. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yes, appreciate you very much, and thank you again for helping us reach a generation of young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Tim.
And thanks to our listeners, to those who were able to give, or who were able to take part in this, to get that Bible, that free Bible, into the hands of their teenagers, anyone from 13 to 18, so as many teenagers as you had in your house, or how many grandkids you have between those ages, you asked for the Bible, so we're grateful for our listeners taking this to heart.
Yeah, and the way that we're able to pay for it is Tim Todd, who you just heard from. He lives in West Monroe, Louisiana. He's a Revival Fires ministry. He's a traveling evangelist.
Yes.
And so when he goes out, he takes offerings throughout the year.
Yeah.
From the churches, primarily Assembly of God churches. So he'll raise money that way. And then we help a little bit too here, so because it's our mission too,
yeah,
right? So we help, and he raises the majority of the money throughout the year through the offerings, and so that way we're able to have this project, but we don't ask anybody for any money,
right?
Related,
and we dedicate a week on American Family Radio,
yeah,
and make sure
Truth for Youth Bible Week,
yes, make sure people know about it. I just say, I just personally, I know you guys, you and Fred are very proud of this in a Christian way, that AFA and AFR takes salvation and the condition of people's souls so seriously, you know?
Well, it's the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, we have a list of priorities, right?
Yeah.
On what your mission goals are here, and ours is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and having seen people's lives changed. Yes, we talk about a lot of other things like we do every day on this show, but the most important thing in anybody's individual life is their relationship to God. Because as the Bible says, we're just here for a brief time.
Yeah.
And the rest of our time is eternity, right?
Right.
And God says, come to me for life everlasting.
Yeah.
Amen? And so we proclaim that truth. That's what Jesus said, folks. We're only telling you what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Jesus said he is life, and life abundantly and life eternally. Amen. All right, preach it, Tim. Thank you. I will.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I wanted to just real quick, if you'll indulge me.
Absolutely.
Will you indulge me?
Absolutely. Okay. We'll indulge.
I know in the Middle Ages, indulgence has got you in trouble, right? With some people, like
yes.
Martin Luther and others.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
That's another story.
It is another story. The Protestants are all cheering and the Catholics are all groaning.
I think some of the Catholics had a little problem with it too. Maybe they didn't say much of the indulgences. Anyway, that's we'll talk about that another day. I was able to, with my wife Allison, we were able to go out to out from where we are in Tupelo to Yellowstone National Park, and also the Teton National Park, which is just south of there. And spent a few days there last week, if you're wondering where I was. And I was traveling around trying to avoid grizzly bears.
Which you actually saw.
I did. We did.
Yeah.
We did. We did. It was. Have you ever been? You've been, right?
I've been. I was 8 years old though
when you went to Yellowstone.
I mean, I was with my family. Yeah. It wasn't just me.
Your dad and your mom and yes. your sisters and yes. such. What about you, Fred? You
have not been to that area of the States.
Yeah, but anyway, it's the oldest national park, Yellowstone is, and it's just I say it's like nature's Disney World.
That's good way of putting it.
That's how I would describe it, and so it was just. Breathtakingly beautiful, like you've seen in pictures and you might imagine, and it's massive. I don't know how many acres it is, but I was telling fire staff this morning, I'm going to say that if you take our state here in Mississippi, if you were to put the Yellowstone National Park, it would take up a third of the state. It's that big.
Wow.
And also, if you want to get lost,
that's a good
never,
place to
it
do.
Never to be heard from again. go out west, my friend.
Oh,
especially out there. But we just drove. I said, you know, you've heard people say, what do you say? You go out to no man's land.
Yeah.
Well, this really is
no man's.
There's no man's land. But anyway, it was a wonderful trip. It was brief, but we were able to see. I always wanted to see the Grand Teton Mountains, and that's a national park, and Jackson Hole, Wyoming, went there for a day or two.
So. And you had mentioned to our staff this morning that you and your wife, Allison, and trying to plan somewhere to go this year.
Yes, we did.
You wanted to get out of Mississippi because of the heat in August, and you said mission accomplished because what was the temperature overnight?
38.
You were camping.
Yes, I mean, we were camping in Yellowstone, right next to Yellowstone. It was 38 degrees last, and then it was 43 the next night. So, uh-huh. Yes. Also, I went outside, and I took a video for my brother.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you say, we live in the South, so it's heat and humidity.
Right.
Right, which are legendary.
Yes.
Right? So, but I took a video. I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, I'm making you this video at night because there's no crickets. Uh-huh.
Because of the cold at night, overnight?
I don't know if they have crickets in Yellowstone ever, but or in that part of the country. Fred, you may know. Do you have crickets in Canada?
I do not remember a cricket problem.
That's right. Well, I mean, but it's weird. Mm-hmm. If you start, in where we live here in Mississippi, you start hearing crickets in April or March, probably.
And then there's frogs and everything else.
Yeah, but that cricket noise is just always in the background. It's like living by an airport.
Yes.
You know, huh?
And you're always hearing the flyovers.
If you live anywhere out in any kind of near the rural area, you're going to hear, well, probably in town, too, you're going to hear crickets.
Yeah.
And
but it was totally silent?
Total silent, like being on the moon. I mean, it's like crazy. It's weird. I'm taking this video with my brother. Hey, listen to this. Listen to nothing.
Well, you know, people who live in cities like New York, when they go somewhere where they're out of the city, they say the quiet is almost loud because they're used to subways and cars honking.
Oh, that's
and
a good point.
Sirens.
Yeah.
And then they get out where it's quiet and they go, it's almost louder because they notice
the silence is deafening.
Yes.
Silence is deafening sort of thing. But anyway, I know, Fred, you live, you know,
in British Columbia,
in Western Canada. So it's similar type terrain there.
Beautiful.
But we did see a grizzly bear.
Mm-hmm.
Driving down the road, my wife yanks the car off the side of the road. She was driving. I gave her a chance to drive.
Yeah.
The little woman.
It's nice. The little woman.
Gave her a chance to drive. Prove herself.
Allison's great.
I'm going to get killed when I get home.
If she's listening.
Yeah, if she's listening. I'm just teasing.
No,
I drive. You know, family, I drive 90% of the time. She drives 10% of the time. But anyway, it was her 10%.
Yeah.
And so she pulls the car off the side of the road. We were driving between Yellowstone and Teton.
Yeah.
Jackson Hole. And there was a big grizzly bear on the side of the road about to cross. And then she pulled the car over and the grizzly bear turned around and went back the other way.
Scared her.
It scared the grizzly bear.
Yeah.
I don't know what scares a grizzly bear, but that her squealing the wheels and yanking over the side of the road did it.
And you told the staff this morning that Allison prayed that God would allow her to see a grizzly.
Yes.
Grizzly bear and a moose, and she got to see both.
Yes. I don't know if that's an appropriate prayer or not. But it worked.
God can say no.
God can say no. We saw a grizzly bear in the wild.
Yeah.
Briefly. And a moose. Rocky and
Bullwinkle.
Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Bullwinkle.
We saw Bullwinkle.
You saw You didn't see Rocky didn't the Flying see Rocky Squirrel?
I don't care. I see
plenty of squirrels.
I see Bullwinkle. Anyway, that was pretty amazing. You've seen,
and you saw an elk.
Yes.
I saw an elk. Yeah, a herd of elks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I've hit a moose.
Ooh. Are you serious?
We were driving back from Nova Scotia to British Columbia. It was about 3:30 in the morning in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
What, excuse me just a minute, Fred.
Hmm.
Driving back.
Yes.
From Nova Scotia.
Yes.
That's like driving from Florida to Seattle.
That is right.
Okay, go ahead.
And I've done that before, too. I like to drive. So this was 1994. So at 3:30 in the morning, pitch black, August, I think it was. We round this corner, and this moose is moving from left to right across the highway. And, I mean, it filled the windshield. And about, she was on the move. I just, the car just clipped her back ankle, I guess it would call it. And I had proof by the time I got to BC, because I went to get the car repaired. There's a little bit of damage on it. There was moose hair still in part of the grill.
Oh, wow.
If you had a moose head on, you're not going to survive that.
No, thank God for that. She was on the move.
Yeah.
And she was, I just caught that bank part of her.
Wow.
She went off in the woods, so we didn't worry too much about her.
Yeah.
But we just.
Nothing you could do anyway.
We just took a couple of breaths.
Yeah.
Because if you hit a moose, they're so tall, the main body would come right through the
It would have been a mess.
Yeah.
It would have been.
Yeah.
The funny part about that is before we left home that morning, early that morning, I said, it's really dark out there, Dad. What about moose? He says, there's no moose here in Cape Breton. You don't have to worry about that.
Famous
so
last words.
We called him up a couple of hours later. Dad, there's at least one.
Oh, me. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Speaking of dealing with wildlife, President Trump's announcing a crackdown on Washington, D.C., right?
As we sit here, he is still at the podium there, major news conference at the White House. And we're going to play a bit of this news conference in just a second, but here's the bottom line, folks. President Donald Trump has declared a public safety emergency in Washington, D.C. Basically, he says crime is out of control. Among other things, he says the crime rate in Washington, D.C. is worse than in places like Bogota, Colombia, and Mexico City. He's already deployed people, FBI agents, drug enforcement people, in the district during the weekend. Apparently, arrests have already been made. But amongst other things, the entire D.C. Police Department has now been turned over to the Attorney General of the United States. She is now in charge of the police department in Washington, D.C.
Would she be in charge of charging criminals, too? Because that's been part of the problem.
Well, there's a district attorney there.
Okay.
Jeanine Pirro. I want to play part of this because the news conference is still unfolding as we're talking here. But here's a little bit as the president was making this announcement this morning. Cut 14.
And we're here for a very serious purpose. Very serious purpose. Something's out of control, but we're going to put it in control very quickly like we did on the southern border. I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control, and you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough, and they know what's happening, and they've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly. And you people are victims of it, too. You know, you're reporters, and I understand a lot of you tend to be on the liberal side, but you don't want to get mugged and raped and shot and killed. And you all know people and friends of yours that happened. And so you can be anything you want, but you want to have safety in the streets. You want to be able to leave your apartment or your house where you live and feel safe and go into a store to buy a newspaper or buy something.
So, well, there's more than 2 minutes there, and it's, as I say, the news conference is still happening. A lot of this has been prompted by recent crimes. There was a young man that was badly injured last week, I think it was. He worked for Doge.
Right.
And he was walking along the street with, a girlfriend at night, and a bunch of thugs attacked him. He managed to get his girlfriend in the car.
Well, he was trying to help. I think he was trying to help a woman who was being attacked.
Yes, he was there. There was the intern that was murdered in June.
About a month,
And the president went through a bunch of crimes. He said something interesting. The president went off script. Gee, that's a surprise. But he said,
when it's the most fun.
Yes. He said there's been arguments made that crime rate is going down in this city. He said, we're investigating that because we believe somebody's been playing with the numbers in D.C. to make it look better than what it actually is. They've already started to remove the homeless. And at one point, he said, I'm sick and tired of the way our law enforcement is treated. He said the FBI agents were patrolling on the weekend. National Guard was patrolling on the weekend already in there. And he said people were spitting in their faces. And I've told these individuals to tell these thugs, you spit, I hit. That was a quote from the president.
Well, spitting in someone's face is assault. Mm. So you're asking for it. If you spit in, anyone's face, you're liable to get a punch in the nose. But if it's someone who's law enforcement, or I'm not sure how you categorize the National Guard troops, I guess they would be considered law enforcement. But you're going to get hit. You're going to get arrested. It's not going to go well.
The Washington, D.C. is a federal city. Okay. That's the reason it's in the District of Columbia. It's not a state. So it's controlled by the federal government and is meant to be that way so that it would be never influenced by politics, okay, by domestic politics. It's supposed to be neutral. But it is ultimately under the control of the federal government. Who's in charge of the federal government? Well, it's the commander-in-chief. It's the president of the United States. It's the CEO of the federal government. So I'm saying this to say he has the constitutional authority, as he cited, to do what he's doing now. I also say this. Listen, I've been to Washington, D.C., and like many of you, I've been many, many times. I've been to Washington, D.C. dozens and dozens of times over the years, and I felt safe if you stay in the tourist areas. You stay around the Capitol, you stay in the mall, you stay around the White House, the other monuments, Arlington, I felt perfectly safe. Arlington, Virginia, just staying across. You're often told, don't go past this street, okay? So you get about six blocks or eight blocks past the Capitol, then you're getting into a dangerous neighborhood. And it's that way through a swath of our nation's capital. Sometimes that crime does bleed over.
Yeah.
It does bleed over, like with that intern that got shot. And
You're talking about, his name is Edward Korstein.
Yeah.
The 19-year-old former Department of Government Efficiency staffer.
Yeah. Well, there was two different ones. There was the Doge kid, he was beat up. He was trying to help a lady who was being assaulted, and he was beat up by a gang. And then there was a group. And then there was the other one who was shot and killed, the intern.
Yes.
Shot and killed at an apartment not too far from the Capitol, right?
Yes.
So,
there's been a little kid who died in a crossfire on a carjacking.
Well, listen, this is going on in big cities and mid-sized cities, but especially... By big cities, I'm going to classify that as a million people up. That's a big city to me across America, and the crime is out of control, and it's everywhere. In Democrat-run cities, that's just...
Huh? Across the board. Democrat-run cities.
Across the board, crime is out of control.
Yes.
And people live in fear. businesses are leaving or closing down or shuttering.
And a lot of that is due to the policies of those in charge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabrielle, is thriving because preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year, and they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabrielle fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on this Monday, August the 11th. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. The big news today, one of the biggest stories today we were talking about earlier, is President Trump is even now speaking at a press conference at the White House, announcing he's calling up the National Guard and going to take over the law and order in the nation's capital, our federal city. And he has the constitutional authority to do so, and he cited it. And this is because of rising crime levels, and he wants to keep the streets safe and in Washington, D.C. I mean, you don't want that to turn into a place nobody wants to go to. So he's saying that he's going to use the National Guard, 1,000 National Guardsmen, right, and take over the city police.
Yep.
I remember going for an event in D.C., and I went with my wife. And to save money after landing at the airport, we took the subway to the hotel. And
the metro is what they call
it. The metro.
That's what they call it.
And I wouldn't do that today. I would not take the metro.
Yeah.
Just because of the sense that it's just not safe. I used to call the subway, but
the subway in New York is different than D.C., but in the sense that it's even more dangerous, I think, in New York. But
I'm talking about how the city's changed, how D.C. has changed over the last 4 or 5 years.
All right. So anyway, he's announcing that today. What that looks like exactly, we'll find out in the coming days and weeks. But I don't know. Has the mayor up there responded yet?
The mayor, our newscast this morning was quoting the mayor as saying agreeing he does have that right. The president does have that right to do exactly what he's doing. I'm a little curious right now about, he says he's the homeless problem he's going to deal with. They're going to move the homeless, and all I've seen reported somewhere else. I'm anxious to see, okay.
He said far from the Capitol.
Yeah, okay. So where are you moving them? Are you going to move them across the Potomac? Is it going to, one of those things that becomes somebody else's problem? Is he going to house them somewhere? And I mean, Republicans have certainly been condemned Democrats when they put them up in hotels.
Yeah.
All of that sort of thing. So that's one part of the story that I'm anxious to get more details on.
In inner cities, it is the homeless problem is, it's really sad. I mean, it is a public safety issue.
Yeah,
it's terrible when you see these. Many of them are just mentally ill, and they're just And but because of that, some of them are dangerous.
Yes,
and they're threatening. And I don't know what you do with homeless people. Do you round them up and take them to a facility somewhere that many of them probably need to be in institutions, you know, for mentally ill people. But if they're violent, they won't take them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or someplace.
And there's usually not enough room.
Or if they're ongoing drug addicts.
Yeah.
Many of them are drug addicts and alcoholics. But that makes them even more dangerous oftentimes because they have to get their fix. So they commit acts of violence to get the money to get to, it's a bad problem, a really bad problem, the homelessness.
Yeah.
A lot of cities, the best way to do it is to not ever let them set up shop, so to speak, in the first place. You keep them moving.
Because those encampments explode.
Yeah, encampments. You don't want encampments. Homeless encampments, you don't want that. You got to keep them moving. I know that, and, you know, you can't solve every problem because it has to be the will of the person involved that wants to get help. And sometimes they don't want to get help. They don't want responsibility. They want to sleep on the – it sounds like – no, nobody would ever want to. No, some of them have said, "I don't want any job.
Right.
I don't want to work. You know, I don't want any responsibility."
So, yeah.
But again, a lot of them are either alcoholics, drug addicts, or they're mentally ill people. All right, so that's the big story. President Trump is still talking. That's a surprise. I cease to be amazed at the energy level of a 78-year-old man. Huh?
Yeah,
I don't know if he ever sleeps, huh?
We can see him. We have four networks up on a TV screen here in our studio, and he is not, his energy doesn't look like it's flagging. He's mentally sharp. He's gesturing. He's back and forth with all of these reporters, and he is vigorously defending what he wants to do in D.C.
Do you think he sleeps? Really?
I think,
because I've never seen any evidence of it. Have you ever seen nodding off, maybe in one of the court trials?
No, I have. Well, there was one time where they said he was falling asleep. He seems to get like 3 or 4 hours sleep. And there are people who seem to operate on that. And that seems to be, I don't know if he takes naps during the day. I can
get by on six and a half.
I can get by on 6 or 6.5. If I get below that.
But I don't think he goes. I think he goes to sleep between when, like midnight and five, maybe.
That seems to be his. I would not be surprised to find out that he gets 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night.
Anyway,
maybe he crashes. For real,
like superhuman or something. I think we all need to consider switching over to the Big Mac diet. Huh? Am I right? Big Mac and fries?
Big Mac and fries and Diet Coke. Hey, I've already got the Diet Coke thing going.
Not an apple a day. A Big Mac a day keeps the doctor away.
Yep. This is genetic for him.
Yes, it is.
This is
his mom and dad gave him some good.
Yes.
He's got good genes.
He's got good genes.
He's got good genes. What's the next story, Fred?
Well, we've got a couple of big stories here, but I'm just watching. This news conference is continuing, but he's getting questions now from reporters about his meeting scheduled this Friday in Alaska with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
And Sarah Palin, by the way, will be able to see Putin from her porch.
For sure now.
I'm sorry.
He's been waiting all weekend to use that one.
I'm sorry, Fred. Go ahead.
No, and there's a lot of talk leading up to this. You know, Zelensky, the Ukrainian leader, is saying, just hold on a second. You guys are going to be making deals that involve us and our territory. Now, Trump, I just saw him quoted there on one of the networks, apparently in response to a reporter, that there's going to be some land swapping going on. Now, that will likely raise the concern, certainly, of the Ukrainians on that front. But that's what, and I read this earlier during the weekend, that Trump is ready to listen, at least, to what he figures are one of Putin's demands, that some of the territory that has been taken, you know, this war is, what, almost 3 years old?
Yes, I think February of 2022.
Yeah, it's over 3 years old. But anyway, that Putin is going to want to keep some of that land that is now under Russian control. So we're going to be watching this as the week goes along. And right now, I don't believe Zelensky, the Ukrainian leader, is going to be part of this meeting. But who knows? We got 4 days until that happens. But finally, he's having his first meeting. Remember, Trump said during the election campaign, I'll settle this thing within days. But Trump has admitted he's been very frustrated with Putin.
Well, I think he believed that candidate Trump believed that both Russia and Ukraine wanted an off-ramp.
Yeah.
And that all it needed was someone to broker that deal. Yeah. But Russia and Vladimir Putin has stubbornly clung to his goal, which may have entailed taking all of Ukraine. So that's why it's been very difficult. But they're bleeding soldiers, bleeding tanks, and there's probably some motivation now for.
So President Trump and Vladimir Putin, the what is his title?
Russian dictator.
Yes. They're meeting in Alaska
on Friday.
On Friday, and to discuss the Ukrainian war.
Yes.
Among some other things.
Yeah. Now, we know that President Trump has talked about, if Putin doesn't stop, sanctions to stop people from buying their oil, because the sale of oil, it is being argued, is allowing this war to continue, the sale of Russian oil. So there's going to be a lot on the table.
Zelensky, the leader of Ukraine, so he's commented on this meeting?
Oh, yeah. He's already saying, we're not going to give up territory. Now, I mean, that's the talk out there this morning. But to end the war, he may be willing to do that.
Okay.
I'm not an expert on these matters. I don't think Russia is giving up the Crimea
no.
or the eastern part that they've taken. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's given that up. And there may be some other areas to the northeast, I guess it would be, or north of Ukraine that they might pull back on, but I don't think they're giving that up.
Yeah.
And Ukraine can't push them out. And
well, when Trump's talking about land swap, and he's talking about giving Russia probably a third of Ukraine, the current day Ukrainian territory, right?
I'm not sure it amounts to a third, but it's significant. It's on the Black Sea.
In order to end the war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if Ukraine would have taken this deal at the beginning, if they had just, but I don't think Russia wanted it. Russia wanted to take the whole Ukraine, right?
Or, well, my understanding was that what Russia wanted to do, in fact, I looked at a map this morning of NATO expansion since 1997 and the number of countries, I think it's 9 or 10 different countries that surround Russia that have joined NATO. And the only two that have not was Belarus, that's allied to Russia, and Ukraine. And Russia has been, I'm not saying that what Putin and Russia did was okay, but Putin has said for more than a decade, he said, Russia will not be surrounded by NATO. Uh-huh. And my understanding is that he wanted to take all of Ukraine, so Ukraine would be a buffer state if NATO ever decided to invade.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. What's the next story, Fred?
Well, we'll come back here at home where we have the fleeing Democrats are still fleeing.
Bless their hearts.
Yes, in Texas. And
So members of the Democrat members of the state legislature have fled to Ukraine, right? No?
I think you're mixing the stories, but
oh, I'm sorry.
They might as well have fled to Ukraine.
Yeah, where did they leave, and why did they leave, Fred?
Well, they left town to deny the Republicans a quorum in the Texas legislature.
Yeah.
Because they got some pretty big votes. They want a vote on redistricting, which is kind of at the heart of all of this. Redistricting, which President Trump believes would give Texas 5 more seats in Congress. So they left town. Remember, they did this back several years ago.
2021.
Democrats, they left town.
Excuse me for interrupting. Redistricting, yeah. Isn't that supposed to be done after the census?
It's
can it be done anytime?
Well, I can't answer
census your, every 10 years.
Yeah, I can't answer your question directly, but
okay.
Redistricting is something that's done in almost every state, Democrat and Republican.
Okay.
So, which leads us to the next chapter in this story. Some of the Democrats, the fleeing Democrats, have gone to Illinois. Some have gone to New York. I think some have gone to Wisconsin, and now some are out in California, all Democrat-run states. Now, what you're probably not hearing in the mainstream media, what the mainstream media is reporting, because they're just parroting what the Democrats are saying, they're saying what's going on in Texas here is just absolutely illegal. It is unconstitutional. It is racist.
It's unethical.
It's unethical. All of these sorts of things. But here's a problem. The truth seems to get in the way of those lies all the time. Because they have the Democrat-controlled Illinois has redistricted. Maybe you've seen the map of the redistricting in Illinois. Somebody says it compares it to a child with a crayon, the way the districts have been drawn there. Massachusetts, totally under Democrat control, even though in the last election, 40% of the people there voted Republican. New York, they did some redistricting also. So it was really interesting on the weekend. Even liberal NBC, Kristen Welker, on Meet the Press. She was hosting Meet the Press. She had the governor of Illinois on and basically saying to Governor J.B. Pritzker, wait a minute, you're charging Texas with doing something that you have done yourself. Have a listen to a little bit of this conversation. Cut number three.
I do want to look at the map of Illinois. Let's take a look at this. Despite President Trump winning 44% of the statewide vote in 2024, Republicans hold only three of Illinois' 17 districts. These districts seem to be designed to maximize Democratic advantage. What do you say to those who argue that it's hypocritical for you to criticize Texas for partisanship when your state also drew maps to boost your party's standing?
Well, remember that what Texas is trying to do is, again, violate the Voting Rights Act.
Well, look, sticking on your state's map, every major group that grades the fairness of congressional maps gives your state an F. Common Cause, a nonpartisan government watchdog, even says your map, and I'm going to quote, represents a nearly perfect model for everything that can go wrong with redistricting. And I guess the question is, you talk about preserving democracy. How do you preserve democracy if you're using the same tactics that you've criticized Texas Republicans for?
But as I say, what they're talking about is a distraction. The reality is that the violation of people's voting rights is what Texas is attempting to do. That's what's wrong with their efforts right now. And the fact that the president of the United States knows it and nevertheless is asking them to do it. That is what's wrong with what we're seeing right now. Democracy is at stake.
Please note that the governor never answered the question.
Oh, what he said was, implicit was, yeah, what we did in Illinois, so what? But they're but the Republicans are doing it in Texas, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
But
he's saying it's restricting voting rights.
While she showed him how you're restricting Republicans' voting rights in Illinois.
Yeah, I don't think either state is actually restricting voting rights.
Right.
Everyone gets to vote. Now, by the way, I did look it up in 2021 when Texas legislators fled the state 4 years ago. That was to try to stop voter ID law from being passed. So this is the way they always turn it. They say, you're restricting voting rights. Well, Texas in 2021 was just simply trying to protect the validity of everyone's vote. Democrats called that restricting voting rights. And what Texas is doing is allowed under the law. And Massachusetts, New York, Illinois, California, all these states that have sometimes, you said, in the 40 percentile of Republicans, and yet in Massachusetts, they got no legislators to represent them. In Illinois, three districts out of 17 controlled by Democrats. This, listen, it's if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. And I applaud NBC
for
asking the tough question, but I boo Governor Pritzker for failing to come to grips with the hypocrisy of his own party.
So these Democrats that have fled their own state of Texas to avoid giving the Republicans a quorum so that you can't do the redistricting they're talking about, because it will happen because Republicans control the legislature. Now, you know, a ruling could come forth from a judge down the road that could negate what the Republicans are about to do. But President Trump said, you know, we won, he won Texas, and they did something to the effect they deserve five more seats or something to, in the redistricting. But so can they, Governor Abbott, can he go have them arrested?
Yep, he can have them arrested.
Really?
They're already being fined $500 a day.
And by the way, that must be paid personally. Mm-hmm. It can't be paid from office funds or political contributions.
Yes. And their paychecks normally are direct deposit in their banks.
Yeah.
He's saying, no, you got to come home because we're writing you a check. So and he's holding these special sessions. This was a special session. The special session ends in a few days, and Governor Abbott has said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to start a brand new special session, and I'm going to keep doing this. Now, we also heard on the weekend from that fairly well-known Jasmine Crockett, one of the Democrats who sits in Congress
just
from Texas.
Just a sweetheart.
Yeah. She had her say about this, but then Governor Abbott responded. Let's listen to a little bit of this. Cut number two.
No, it's not just even the fact that it's gerrymandering. I want to be clear. This is racial gerrymandering specifically in the state of Texas. Right now, African-Americans are only going to have one-fifth of the voting power that they should have in the state of Texas under this map. And we know that our Latino brothers and sisters will only have one-third of the voting power. When Trump came in the first time, they started to lift the hoods. Once Trump got in a second time, they decided the hoods were off.
It would not be a day that ends in the letter Y if Jasmine Crockett didn't say something racist. But second, her facts are wrong, because the facts in the state of Texas are, under the maps that we are drawing, is that four of the new seats will be predominantly Hispanic seats. The problem that Democrats have in the state of Texas is Hispanics, black voters, and other voters, they have learned now that the ideas that Democrats stand for are contrary to the ideas that the Hispanic community and black community stand for.
Well, that's a good point. I think her analysis, if that's what you want to call it, Crockett, she's a House Representatives member from the Dallas area, right?
That's correct.
She's assuming that blacks and Hispanics all vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is true that the black people do vote Democrat like 7-3 in 10, you know, 70% to 80% probably, maybe less the Dallas area, but nationally. And then the Hispanics are 50-50 or 60-40 Democrat, but they're not monolithic. Certainly not any longer. So,
and by the way, the assumption she's making is that in order for black people's vote to count,
right,
they have to have X number of all black districts.
Right.
That's not true. Otherwise, then if there are white people or Hispanic people who are living in those black districts, do their votes count? Of course they do. If you vote, your vote counts. Right. You may not be guaranteed a seat.
That's a good point.
But there are going to be white people and Hispanic people who live in these quote-unquote kind of all-black districts. If their vote counts, then blacks who are a minority in a mostly white district, their votes count too. You don't always get to win. If you're in a district, you cast your vote, it counts. Sometimes you lose.
You know, also the Democrats are really worried about the Hispanic vote.
Yes.
The Hispanic voters in America shifting over. If the Hispanic voters, by the way, Hispanics are the largest minority now.
Yes.
And have been for about 10 years. So you got, what do you call, you just call them white people? Is that what you call us? I'm talking about the majority of ethnicity in America.
Yes, I think we're just considered
We don't have a hybrid.
Caucasian.
There's no hyphen for us or nothing. Right?
No, I mean,
we're just white people. Right? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so you got white people.
I mean, I'm Italian-American, but I don't go by that.
But you're white. You're a sub level of What am I trying
careful.
To
Careful. I don't know. When you start going with sub.
I know. I'm starting talking. I'm about to offend somebody somewhere.
we're considered white.
All right. I'm just going to put. The reason I was saying that is it Anglo or is it Caucasian or what is the
it
proper
depends
terminology?
Depends on the form. I think I'm like on my doctor when I go, I get my checkup coming up here and I go online and sign up ahead.
Yes.
I'm white.
Okay. There's
they
a,
don't think they say
they used
Caucasian
to call
anymore.
Caucasian.
Yeah. I don't think they do that
I don't know what
anymore.
Happened to that. Because I looked it up, and we came from the Caucasus Mountains.
That's what, yeah, over supposedly.
In Russia area, in the Russia area. You know this, right?
Yeah.
That's where
Caucasian
and eventually
from.
Ended up right here.
Yes.
In Mississippi.
That's right.
You know?
That's how this Caucasian got here.
So the point, my point is, and I do have one.
Yeah.
My point is that the whites are, I think, 60% of the American 60-65, and I think Hispanics are second now with like 18-20%.
They are 18, looking it up now, more than 19%.
Okay, nearly 20.
Yes.
Percent of the American general population is Hispanic. And then African American,
13%,
aka black folks, are 13%.
I don't know. But you know what? You know, this is kind of a bizarre way to do culture and politics because all Hispanics are not the same. I'm not sure.
I know.
You know, Mexicans they're not Venezuelan.
Right.
And they're not Ecuadorian. And, you know, they're not from El Salvador.
Do some people lump them all together?
Well, I think they do. I'm not sure. Maybe for the purpose of getting policies passed, they may say,
we're all
Hispanic, but they're not all the same. All black people aren't the same.
Right.
And there's a lot of mixed race, Barack Obama being one of them. So it does get tiresome putting everyone in one big basket. You go in this big basket, you go in that big basket.
But I don't think it's true anymore. It's not true anymore that people vote a certain way because of their ethnicity. It is true. There's trends,
right?
And obviously, as I said, in the African American community, you're going to find 70-80% vote Democrat.
Right.
And sometimes that's
maybe
only,
more.
Sometimes that's only in inner cities. That's the only choices you have.
Right.
Right. You vote Democrat or you don't vote anybody.
Yeah.
So usually. But anyway, all right. So we're going to take a short time out right here. And
these three white boys are going to take a break.
We're going to take a break. Caucasian.
But you know what? We love everybody.
That's right.
We love all our listeners, and God commands us to love people.
Regardless.
Regardless.
Of whether you came from the Caucasus Mountains of Russia or not. It is Russia, right?
I think
somewhere
it's on the border
there.
Between Russia and...
All right. We'll be back momentarily with more ethnicity updates.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.